our government.
Healthcare.
Your government.
The economy.
Bailout.
Global financial recession.
Transportation.
Agenda.
Agenda.
The work that needs to be done.
Hello, everyone. Presidents may go on vacation, but the agenda doesn't stop. And here this morning, I'm John Hockenberry with Femi Okay. We've got Marcus Mabry back in the saddle to talk about the forthcoming headlines this week. And also Jonathan Marcus from our partner, the BBC, the diplomatic correspondent, joining us from London. Jonathan and Marcus, welcome back.
Good morning.
Marcus, let's begin with you. It seems to me that whatever sort of fun the president anticipates having in Martha's Vineyard on vacation this week, he seems to be on the defensive. We were just talking about this CIA report that's going to be released officially. Half of it will be redacted on Monday. That's going to talk about – or today, that will talk about possible prosecutions of agents during the Bush era. Your newspaper is reporting that the Justice Department is likely to pursue some sort of actual prosecutions of CIA personnel. And then, of course, we have this.
There's no way I can pass a bill in the House of Representatives without a public option.
On health care, it appears that on the left and the right, the president is under some pressure to decide whether he is for or against a public option on health care. On the defensive on both of these, where is it headed?
Well, you know, first, John, you mentioned Ibiza and how, you know, no president could go there. Well, actually, my vacation was spent in Ibiza, at least part of it.
Is that true?
Yes, absolutely.
So you have no chance of being president.
I have just come back from Ibiza. I would suggest any president can, especially Barack Obama, given the challenges he's facing that you just outlined, head to Ibiza as soon as possible.
Marcus, what clubs did you go to? I'm trying to imagine you clubbing with your T-shirt off.
I'm not even going to go there.
Oh, okay.
That's why we have Femi.
In more serious matters, you know, the frustration the president is actually experiencing and the Democrats are as a whole, I think are really clear in what we heard this weekend. What we heard on Saturday, the president said in his address, was that he wanted people to basically stop making myths, myth-making. He said he was fine with having a legitimate discussion about the pros and cons of his different aspects of the health reform, but he said, you know, the lies have to stop.
Here's the president trying to do that, and I want to assess from you whether this kind of language and this tone was reassuring.
Now, the source of a lot of these fears about government-run health care is confusion over what's called the public option. This is one idea among many to provide more competition and choice, especially in the many places around the country where just one insurer thoroughly dominates the marketplace.
When he says this is one idea among many, it seems to me he loses people. He's not being clear, and people don't know where things stand, and the ambiguity about whatever you're talking about, Senate or House version of this bill, plays against him.
Well, he's trying to be a politician still. He's still trying to walk that middle path between, as you said, the left and the right. But what we're seeing is the frustration among Democratic leaders is such that, as Nancy Pelosi said, and now as we're hearing from Senate Democratic leaders in the Senate, they're talking about what could be considered a nuclear option, a budget reconciliation process for health care, which would mean they could pass legislation with a simple majority vote rather than the 60% veto-proof margin they usually need. Republicans are saying that would be unfair, an abusive process that's really used just for reconciling budgets. But it is a measure of the Democratic frustration, and we'll see this week how frustrated they are.
Well, Marcus Mabry, let me know if you believe that Senator Chuck Schumer is then right on this matter here.
If we don't have a bipartisan bill, we'll never be able to meet the goal of having a bill signed into law by the end of the year.
Bipartisanship with these kinds of majorities, that's an absolute necessity, says Schumer, or we get nothing this year.
You know, I don't think it's going to happen because Schumer also said over the weekend that it looked like the Max Baucus's process coming out of the Finance Committee, which was supposed to be the only bipartisan plan we're supposed to see, was looking more endangered. He also said, Schumer, that without a public option, there would be no way to reduce costs on health care. The Republicans have done a great job, and the opponents of the plan have done a great job of saying this is about those 15% of Americans who don't have health care. That's all 85% of us it works for, so you shouldn't be so crazy and so extreme as Obama. The Democrats will try to make it again about containing health care costs this week.
Right. Jonathan Marcus, in London, you know, there's a lot of concern about the outcome of the Afghanistan election, which the Obama administration has a lot of interest in. But overseas, it seems like the big story over the weekend and going forward is the fallout from the release of the Lockerbie bomber and how he was received back in Libya, and also discussions going on between Obama's cabinet on Middle East peace and Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel.
Well, indeed. I mean, you're right. The release of the alleged Lockerbie bomber, a man obviously convicted for that crime, has caused huge interest here, not least because it throws up the very peculiar in some way constitutional arrangements, the division of responsibilities between London and Edinburgh. When the whole devolution process was entered into, I think nobody really imagined this kind of episode causing such a problem. And of course, it really does highlight that devolution went forward here, and I think you could understand this well in the States, without any kind of federal structures being created. So Scotland is an independent country in terms not least of its judicial system, and there is no United Kingdom or Great Britain and Northern Ireland, Supreme Court, as it were, to deal with these kinds of issues. And of course, since foreign policy is outside the remit of the government in Edinburgh, and clearly this is a decision which has huge implications for foreign policy, it's quite a difficult issue.
Best guess, Jonathan Marcus, does this catch fire this week or settle down?
I think it's likely to settle down. I think already it's degenerating into something of a political slanging match between obviously a Labour government in London and the Scottish National Party, who are in power in Edinburgh, a minority government there, but obviously the Labour Party's main opposition in Scotland. The main that's the battle for the working class vote in Scotland. So I think it's got a lot of domestic political overtones as well. It's obviously soured relations to an extent with Washington, and obviously they will get over that, but it does highlight some continuing problems, I think, back home in the way we arrange our affairs.
All right, Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent in London, and Marcus Mabry, international business editor at The New York Times. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the domestic implications of GDP numbers coming out this week. The whole world will be watching those.
We'll see them by then on Thursday.
Are we shrinking less or growing more? What do you think, Marcus?
I think we're shrinking less. A positive right now.
All right. Thanks so much, Marcus Mabry and Jonathan Marcus. Marcus, there's your agenda.